Morning. It's August 10th, 2025. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. I'm so glad you've chosen to join us today. We're going to be talking about red heifers, end times hype, and the true hope in Yeshua's return. Let's open in prayer first. Abba Father, we come before you today with open hearts and humble spirits. Thank you for gathering us together as one family in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and our King. We acknowledge that you alone are God and that every good gift, every breath comes from your hand. As we turn our attention to your word, we ask that you would guide us by your spirit of truth. Clear away confusion and fear. Give us discernment and understanding. Let every word spoken today draw us closer to you and to your purposes for our lives. Help us to recognize the voice of our shepherd, Yeshua, and to follow him with all that we are. Open our eyes to see the hope of your kingdom and give us boldness to live and share the good news, not just of the cross, but of the fullness of your reign in every part of our lives. We ask for unity, for wisdom, and for your presence to be felt among us. May your name be honored in all we do and say today. In the name above every other name, Yeshua our Messiah. Amen. Well, if you've been following the news, you've probably heard about the red heifers that arrived in Israel. There's a lot of buzz about sacrifices, the temple, and talk that the end is upon us. Some are saying, this is the sign. The Messiah must be coming soon. This isn't just news. It's stirring up real questions and, for some, real anxiety. But as followers of Yeshua, we need to be grounded in what the scriptures actually say and teach. Our hope isn't in headlines, but in the one true God of Israel and the work he's already done and continues to do through Messiah Yeshua. Today, let's look at what the Torah, the prophets, and the writings say about the red heifer and what Yeshua himself taught about his return and our calling until that day. What does Torah really say about the red heifer? Let's go to Numbers chapter 19. The commandment about the red heifer is very specific. Adonai tells Moses and Aaron that a flawless, unblemished red heifer is to be sacrificed outside the camp. Its ashes mixed with water for purification, especially for those who had become ritually defiled by contact with the dead. This is a decree beyond rational explanation, not about prophecy or the end times, but about ritual purity for the community. The Torah doesn't say, when you find a red heifer, the Messiah will come. It does say, do this so the camp remains clean before me. Over the centuries, rabbinic tradition started connecting the red heifer with the coming of Messiah. Some even teach that the 10th heifer will be prepared by the Messiah. But these ideas come from the Mishnah and later writings, not from the written Torah. Let's be honest, tradition can be beautiful, but it should never outrank the plain teaching of Scripture. So why are people so fixated on the sign? Why does this capture so much attention? It's because people are hungry for hope. They want to believe that the chaos around us is leading somewhere meaningful, that there's a plan, that redemption is near. It's understandable. For thousands of years, Israel has longed for the day when the king would reign from Jerusalem, when swords would become plowshares. But sometimes in our longing, we can grab hold of speculation instead of revelation. Let's look at what Yeshua actually taught about his return. So we're going to take a moment and talk about what it really means to call someone Messiah. And then we're going to find out what Messiah actually said. The word Messiah comes from a Hebrew word that means anointed one. In ancient Israel, God would have the prophets pour oil on the heads of kings and priests to show they were chosen and empowered for a special task. So the Messiah is the one God himself has set apart, filled with his spirit, and sent to save and lead his people. For us, that's Yeshua, our Messiah, our anointed king. But here's something Yeshua warned us about, and it's just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. In Matthew 24, 4 through 5, he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many." In other words, just because someone claims to be anointed or acts like they have a special calling from God doesn't make it true. All through history, and especially in times of uncertainty, people stand up and say, "I have a new revelation. I'm specially anointed for this time. Follow me." Sometimes they even claim to be the Messiah himself. But true anointing isn't about charisma, popularity, or someone's own ideas. Real anointing comes from God, and it always lines up with his truth. There are a lot of voices today on the internet and in the media, and even some in congregations. People who sound convincing, but are really just sharing their own opinions. They might sound spiritual, but if what they say doesn't match the word of God, if it leads us away from the example of Yeshua and into confusion or fear, it's not the real thing. Plain and simple, it's not. Yeshua gives us more context in Matthew 24, 6 through 8. He says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Remember, we talked about this last week. So what's he saying? He's telling us not to panic every time we see disaster or conflict in the world. These things are real, but they aren't the finish line. They're just the beginning, like the first pains before a baby is born. It's a sign that something is coming, but the main event is still ahead. As we talked about last week, birth pains can be intense and uncomfortable, but they're a sign that new life is on the way. In the same way, the troubles we see around us remind us that creation is longing for redemption, but Messiah's return, the real hope, is still coming. So let's be careful. Let's not chase after every anointed voice out there or get caught up in every opinion, prediction, or hype. Let's measure everything by the word of God and the character of Yeshua, the true anointed one. He told us plainly, these are just the birth pains. The end is not yet. Let's be people who stay anchored in truth and hope, not tossed around by every new idea that comes along. So what's the real sign? Now let's listen to the one sign Yeshua did give. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. That's Matthew 24, 14. Notice Yeshua didn't say the gospel will be preached. He said the gospel of the kingdom. There is a difference, and it's easy to miss, but it's absolutely central to what we're called to do. Many of us grew up hearing about the gospel of the cross, the message that Yeshua died for our sins, that through his sacrifice we can be forgiven and we can receive new life. This is a beautiful foundational truth. The cross is where our journey begins. It's through Yeshua's sacrifice that we're reconciled to God. But Yeshua described himself as the door in John 10:9, when he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." The door, dear ones, it's not the destination. It's the entryway. The gospel of the cross is the introduction, the invitation to enter. It's how we come into relationship with God, how we're born again. As Yeshua says in John 3:3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But after being born again, we're not just meant to camp out by the door. We're called to step into the fullness of kingdom life, to live as citizens of God's kingdom, to bring his rule and his ways into every part of our lives, our homes, our communities, and our world. So what is the gospel of the kingdom? It's the good news that in Yeshua, God's reign is breaking into this world. Yeshua said, "The kingdom is at hand. It's right within your reach. And if these things are happening, you can just reach out and take the kingdom." It's about justice, healing, reconciliation, and hope. It's about living under the kingship of Yeshua, letting him rule over our hearts, over our relationships, our finances, our dreams. Yeshua preached this everywhere he went. In Luke 4:43, he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Notice he didn't say, "I got to preach the good news of the cross." The cross hadn't even happened yet. And he didn't even preach that he was going to the cross. What did he preach? He preached the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. Then the end will come. So this is the gospel that changes the world. Not just saving souls, but restoring lives, healing families, setting captives free, and pushing back darkness with light. And then there's the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. Yeshua commands his followers, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." No. He doesn't just say, "Make converts." He says, "Make disciples." And that's kingdom work, teaching people to live in the ways of the king, to become citizens of heaven while still living on earth. Yeshua taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom and bringing his kingdom here to earth in our spheres of influence. Right? Amen. So what's some practical applications to this message? How exactly do we do that? Well, when we share our faith, let's not stop at "Yeshua died for you." Yeah, that's true. He also rose again, and he gave us a great commission. But that commission includes making disciples. And to be a disciple means you study under a master who will teach you how to live the right way. Let's also invite people into kingdom life. Not just getting their fire insurance papers, their ticket to ride that glory train. It's the start, but it's not the end. We must grow up into the likeness of our Messiah, Yeshua. So we need to learn to walk in love, justice, generosity, forgiveness, and power, all these things that he modeled while here on earth. Let's ask ourselves, am I living like a citizen of God's kingdom or just someone who's been saved and waiting for heaven? So many people in so many churches that I've visited about 3 years, all they're doing is waiting for Jesus to return or for them to die and go to heaven. They're all about focusing on going there instead of bringing there here. Yet Jesus said, this is how we're to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said to advance his kingdom in the earth. Oh yeah, it's awesome hope. It's a blessed hope of the resurrection that we get to be with Yeshua for all eternity, whether in heaven or here on earth. And that's a different message. But we need to focus on bringing heaven to earth, not going to heaven. You understand the difference? I hope we got that. Because the gospel of the kingdom means we get to partner with Yeshua in his work right now, bringing healing, hope, and truth to a world that desperately needs it. Just thinking about going to heaven and waiting for your escape. Can't wait till I get there, the sweet by and by. Oh, that's so selfish, people. Dear ones, it is selfish. Stop thinking about yourself. Think about all these people in the world who haven't even heard about Messiah and the wonderful future he has for them, the great destiny, how they can live a kingdom life here on earth. I'm not talking about one that means that you have a bank account that's overflowing, although some may have that. That's not the focus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. What that means for each of us might look a little different in the doing, right? But the point is we got to seek the kingdom. We have to preach the kingdom, seek the kingdom, because it's all about the kingdom, because Yeshua brought the kingdom within our reach. He's calling us to reach out and take it and to advance it in the earth, destroying the works of the enemy, restoring his plan for each person, because that's what's going to help people. Remember, the end doesn't come just because we know about the cross. And it doesn't come because someone sacrifices red heifers. And comes when the message of Yeshua's kingship, his kingdom, touches every nation, every people, every corner of the earth. This is our calling. That's the sign Yeshua told us to watch for. And that's the part of each of us gets to play until he returns. Preach more than just the cross. It's good that you want to point people to the door. It's a start. But once they've entered the door, there's so much more. Amen? So, but there is something to the red heifer. For us as Messianic believers, the red heifer points us to something greater, to Yeshua himself. As with so many things in Judaism and Jewish tradition, it's a sign that points to Messiah. All the feasts, the laws, so much of it is prophetic in nature, helping Israel to recognize their Messiah when he comes. It's the fact that they didn't understand scriptures. They didn't get it, that they missed the Messiah when he came, for the most part. But yes, some believed, the apostles, they believed, and others listened to them and received the truth. But by and large, the majority of Jews in that day missed their time of visitation. They didn't recognize Messiah, especially the ones who were supposed to know the law. The Pharisees, they didn't understand at all. How can someone born in a manger be our Messiah? How can this man be our Messiah? No, this is not what we are expecting. But you know, sometimes God comes as we don't expect. But the first time he came as a lamb, next time he will come as the king. And he will be all that Israel expects. But the red heifer was sacrificed outside the camp to make purification possible. So the letter to the Hebrews draws this connection clearly. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Yeshua also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. That's Hebrews 13:11-12. Yeshua is our purification. We don't need to wait for the ashes of a red heifer to be sprinkled on us. We have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The ultimate sacrifice has been made. The curtain in the temple was torn. In him, we have access to the Father. Oh, hallelujah. This is good news. And this is the gospel of the kingdom, that we have been brought near and we now have a relationship with the Father and we can live as he intended in the beginning. All we have to do now is be a disciple and learn how to do that. That's what working out our own salvation in fear and trembling is all about. It's getting that inward change, that we're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Get that out of the inside to the outside, so it, other people can see that there is a God in heaven and there is a Messiah who paid the price. Yeshua is here and he wants to have a relationship with each one of us. So practically, how should we live? You know, I always want to bring practical application to everything I teach. Let's learn how to apply that word to our daily lives. Amen. It's good to have a message that's exciting and encouraging and uplifting and everything. But if we can't apply that word to our daily life and it changes us in how we live and grows us up closer to being one with Jesus, Yeshua, then it's not really doing us any good, is it? So, you know, I always want to bring out a practical application. So there's three things that stand out here. We need to have discernment over hype. Don't get swept up in every headline or internet prophecy. Test everything by the word. When someone says, the end is here, or this event means Messiah must come now, ask, what does scripture actually say? I think there's a verse about if they say he is here or Messiah is over here in the desert or something like that, don't listen. Because that's not how it's going to happen. That would save a lot of people a lot of grief if they would just learn that verse and not run here and there and everywhere looking for, oh, Messiah's here, Messiah's there. Stay home. Search the scriptures. Be a Berean. Build your relationship with the Lord. Attend your local body. Don't be running after here and there and everywhere. So what if a friend forwards you a viral video claiming the red heifer means the rapture is next week, or any other video making end times claims? Well, instead of panicking or mocking, respond with grace. Say something like, that's interesting. Just look at what Yeshua said. He told us no one knows the day or hour, but to always be ready. And he said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole earth and then the end will come. How do we do our part to advance the gospel of the kingdom in our spheres of influence? See what your friend says to that. Amen? I mean, I heard a video on YouTube. The guy was talking about this, the subject. And this, actually, it's what led me to write this message. Felt like I needed to address this. Because he was saying it was the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The red heifer was the... But I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it prophesies anything about the red heifer, especially connected to end times. As we read, it talks about it was used for purification, and it does point to Yeshua, our sacrifice, and our purification. But that's a big difference between saying it's a sign of the impending return of Yeshua. Amen? We must exercise faithfulness over speculation. Yeshua wasn't interested in us cracking the code. He was interested in us loving God, loving our neighbors, and making disciples. If our focus on end times distracts us from loving the widow, the orphan, the stranger, then we've missed the point. So when you hear about signs and wonders, let it motivate you to deeper prayer and service. If Messiah could return at any moment, how should I treat the people around me today? How can I share the hope I have in Yeshua with someone who hasn't heard? That's a better way to respond. We must have hope over fear. The world is full of instability, but our hope is secure in Messiah. We don't have to be anxious or fearful about what's next, because the one who holds the future holds us. So if your children or friends ask, should we be scared? You get to say, no, Messiah Yeshua is our hope and our salvation. He has overcome the world. We are safe in him, no matter what comes. And I've had a neighbor a couple times ask me, are you scared about something? Like maybe a hurricane was predicted to come, or something, a fire was in the area, some natural disaster. Are you afraid? No, I'm not scared. Why? Because I pay my tithes. And my Bible says that if I pay my tithes, God will protect me and rebuke the devourer for my sake. So no natural disaster is coming here to destroy my place because I'm a tither. So I recommend that if you're not a tither, then you start tithing. That way you can be assured of that promise. Amen? And God has been faithful in that area for me, because a couple years ago, there were signs that there could have been two fires to destroy my house. An electrical fire could have occurred in my attic. Some wires got burnt, but it didn't break out into a full-blown fire that would destroy my home. God put that fire out. And then I was able to get the electricians up there to repair all that wiring. So God protected my home. And then my dryer, the people, when they installed it, they didn't connect the plug correctly, and it was arcing, and it melted it, and it burned up my dryer, but it didn't start a fire in my house. So that was just two times, just in 1 year, and just like maybe a couple months time, where God honored his word. He was faithful. And our God is faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. Amen. So as I conclude, I want to encourage you that as we see events unfold, whether in Israel or around the world, let's let them drive us back to prayer, back to the scriptures, and back to our mission. The real sign of the end isn't sacrifice, but the good news of the kingdom reaching every nation, every people, every heart. Let's be people who live ready, not by chasing headlines, but by following Yeshua each day. Let's support those taking the gospel to unreached peoples. Let's love our neighbors, pray for Israel, and walk in holiness. And let's remember, we have already been purified by the sacrifice made once for all, and we belong to the King, and our future is secure in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, our King, thank you that in Yeshua we have hope that does not disappoint. Guard our hearts against fear and confusion. Give us wisdom and discernment to test every spirit and teaching. Help us to live each day in readiness, not for headlines, but for your kingdom. Use us to share your good news with those who have not heard. May we be found faithful until that great day when Yeshua returns and all Israel shall be saved. Amen. Now, as you exercise discernment this week and do your part to preach the gospel of the kingdom in your spheres of influence, may there be shalom in your home.